Lecture 6, Moses Mendelssohn and His Generation.
In the 100 years separating Benedict Spinoza and Moses Mendelssohn, there are clearly some changes in social attitudes and in economic and political realities that affected the Jews in Western Europe. Without entering into great detail, let us mention at least a few of them before turning to Mendelssohn himself. In the 17th and 18th century, what emerges in Europe are a group of Jews called court Jews, with extensive business connections and political power, enjoying a kind of special status in European society. In other words, before the time of complete political emancipation for Jews, there were such Jews called Hofjuden, or court Jews, with exceptional status. They were unusual. They were given rights and privileges beyond those given to most other Jews. So that what emerges in Western Europe from the time of Spinoza until Mendelssohn is the emergence of an entire class of people who seem to be moving freely and openly within Western society. We might also mention that in the course of time, Spinoza's ideas about religious tolerance and moral self-sufficiency of the state were articulated by many other thinkers, the most important, of course, being John Locke. But John Toland in England is also extremely important. In fact, Toland himself wrote a work about the Jews and about the civil emancipation of Jews in England and elsewhere. In the Enlightenment period, that is, at the end of the 18th century, these ideas become fashionable. In other words, even though they were written several decades earlier, clearly Spinoza, Locke, Toland, all of these books have reached the continent, are well known by the intellectuals who are called the philosophes, the scholars, the philosophers of the Enlightenment. And therefore, the issues that we have defined as 17th century ideas find their resonance within the 18th century as well, particularly the notion of the separation of church and state and the individual rights of each human being to do his or her own thing. We should not think, however, that the Enlightenment was this ideal society of intellectuals and literary people who all believed that all human beings were equal, including Jews and other minorities. Clearly, there were contradictions even in the Enlightenment period itself. And although we are not going to deal with him in this course, Voltaire should be mentioned at least as one remarkable philosopher in the Enlightenment who took a very negative view of the Jews and of Judaism and of Jewish culture. And if one looks at his philosophical dictionary, one will see some abusive comments about Jews and Judaism, despite his own sense of enlightenment, of fairness, of universal values that were articulated in this period. I want to mention one other structure which perhaps seems a little bizarre and out of center, but nevertheless strikes me as being a very interesting example of the pockets of equality, enlightenment between Jews and Christians that emerged prior to their political emancipation at the end of the 18th century. What I'm referring to are a group of people known as Freemasons. The Freemason associations in England and Germany and throughout the continent were well known in treating Jews and Christians alike. They welcomed Jews into their associations. They opened the door. They even addressed and appropriated Jewish ritual. A fascination, for example, with the temple in Jerusalem was part of their own ritual life. And indeed, they encountered Jews and Christians in such a way, they placed them together in such a way, that it was possible for Jews to feel almost as if they had an equal status with Christians. Clearly, this was only a pocket, a neutral pocket within a world of inequities and inequalities. But nevertheless, it suggests the possibility for what might be coming. That is, the universal suffrage, the possibility of civic emancipation for all minorities, including Jews. Mendelssohn lived in a world, however, that still had not been fully emancipated. He was clearly active as a philosopher in Berlin in the 1760s and 1770s. Born in the city of Dessau in 1729, he came there as a young man. He came to Berlin as a young man. and he had already studied philosophy and the sciences. Like Spinoza, he had a wonderful Hebrew education, and although he began to write in German and other languages, clearly he also wrote in Hebrew. And it's quite interesting to compare his German style or his German audience for his writing with that of the Hebrew. We'll come back to that point in a second.